Good morning, everyone, and a warm welcome to church this morning, and a special welcome on this Sunday morning as we have the first of our Harvest Thanksgiving services. You're all welcome, and in particular, any who would be visiting with us. Can I bid welcome on your behalf the Reverend Jim Lyons? He's the minister in our Spamount Church. Spamount is an area of Belfast. The church has relocated to the other side of Belfast, to the area of Knock Bracken. And that's where the congregation now worship and witness. We're delighted to have him with us this morning as our guest speaker, and I'll hand immediately over to himself to commence our service this morning.
Thank you very much. Delighted to be with you today. I haven't been in Ballymena preaching here or many churches, but I've been around quite a bit when I worked with the Faith Mission, which was not too long ago. We're going to begin with our opening praise. We plough the fields and scatter the good seed on the land. Sound good up here. Don't know what you think you sound like down there, but you sound really, really good. And it's great to see you this morning, and it's great to come to God's house and to give Him praise at a harvest time like this. Let's pray together, please. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness and your mercy to us. Thank you for the reason that we've gathered together today, to gather in your name and to worship you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come at the very outset of the service, Lord, to offer praise unto your name. We thank you that you are the God who never fails. You're the one who stays the same. You are the one whom, Lord, although times will change and fashion will change and culture can change, yet we thank you, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you, loving Father, this morning that we can come, acknowledging who you are today, that you are the eternal God, and yet, Father, we thank you that you've entered into time through the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, today that although it seems in a sense that you are far from us and far removed from us, yet we thank you you're very near to us because, Lord, every person who knows you as Lord and Savior, your Spirit is resident within their lives. Father, thank you for this harvest time. Thank you, Lord, that you've been good to us. Thank you, Lord, that we have so many good things, Lord, displayed here in this building. Lord, we have food on our tables every day. We have clothes to wear. We thank you for the measure of health that you give us every day. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. And Lord, we just want to bless you from our hearts this morning. We thank you also, loving Lord, that as we can thank you for the way in which you've blessed us, we can pause to remember, Lord, the ways in which other people are suffering. Lord, other people do not have the things that we have today. And Lord, we want to remember your people, Lord, throughout this world. Lord, people in North Korea, people in situations that are very, very difficult. We pray, loving Lord, that you will be with them today. People, Lord, in lands that who do not have a harvest, Lord, we pray that you will draw near to them. Father, we just come to you this morning, and we ask you, Lord, that you will just center our focus, Lord, upon not the good things that we get, Lord, not even the gifts we get from you, but just upon you this morning. And loving Father, we come to you afresh today, acknowledging who you are and thanking you for all you've given to us. And Lord, looking to you today, Lord, that your hand will be extended to us throughout the service, that, Lord, above everything else we see and hear, Lord, we just might know that God is here. Just might know that God is speaking to us today by the power of his word. Father, we just pray you'll draw near to us. Bless every young person in the congregation today. Lord, be with them and bless them. Lord, as they have begun another year of education, whether in university, in college, or in school, and we pray that you will bless them especially today. And bless them in their future lives. And grant, dear Father, that you will undertake for them. Lord, today we commit ourselves to now. And we pray, Lord, for your help, Father. And we pray that you will go with us as we go through this service. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Now I'm going to call the choir to sing the first piece, Fairest Lord Jesus.
Oh,
We're going to have our scripture reading at this stage, if you wish to follow. It's in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. And we'll begin at verse 1. And we're reading through to the end of verse 20. It's the parable of the sower and the seed. Some like to call it the parable of the four soils. And we're going to look at this morning together. So Mark chapter 4, reading from verse 1 to the end of verse 20, please. And again Jesus began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And they said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And they said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn, and their sins be forgiven them." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately, and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the world's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Amen. And we do trust God that he will bless his word into our hearts this morning. I'm going to ask the choir if they'll sing their next piece, "This Is My Father's World." Thank you. Now let's all sing together. Our next item of praise is that great old hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God, My Father."
Thank you.
pray together. Father, we thank you today that you have given so many good things to us. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of coming to give to your work through the ministry of a local church. And we pray you'll bless the good gifts that have been given and use them, Lord, we pray, for the extension of your kingdom. For Jesus' sake, we also pray that as shortly we turn to your word, that you will grant us your help for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now the choir is going to sing another piece to us. Join together in praise, hear the call of the kingdom. Let's stand together and sing.
Thank you.
As a young boy, I remember watching quite a number of TV programs, and one of them that I watched wasn't yesterday, I can assure you, was a program called Jack and Ori. Now, if you're smiling, I'll know at least what age you are, or maybe more than that. And that was a program, of course, that centered and focused upon storytelling. Some of them back then were quite interesting indeed. And when you follow the life and teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ, you will find that it's interesting in the way in which he taught people, because it seems to come forth in a sense like in a storytelling manner. And of course, we know them better as parables. No one was better than he. There was a young boy who was asked to write down the definition of a parable. What is it? And this is what he wrote. A parable is an earthly story with a heavy meaning. So he should have said, we would say, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. But there is some truth in what he said, because a parable is there to aid us in the understanding of God's truth. The word parable literally means to throw along beside. And as the earthly incident is placed alongside the teaching, it shines a little light and helps people to understand what Jesus is getting at. I think a parable for me is more than an illustration in a sermon, because it is designed as an illustration to illustrate some truth. But a parable does more than that, because also in a parable, there is contained truth in it. This parable is so vitally important. And this parable we read in Mark 4:1-20 seems to hold a key to unlocking the understanding of all the other parables. So there is a sense in which we cannot bypass this parable. Jesus said in so many words in verse 13, if you do not understand this parable, you will probably not understand any of the rest of them. It is important here now to keep this parable in the context in which it was given. And at the end of verse chapter 3, Jesus gives a revelation as to who his family really are. Jesus says in Luke's account, my mother and my brothers are they who hear the word of God and keep it. And as we come into chapter 4, there is a great multitude of people that have gathered unto him, so much so that he has to get into a boat, go out a little from land, and the people there are facing out into the sea. And he starts to teach them this parable about a sower going forth to sow his seed. On this occasion, we're told that the seed is the word of God. So that connects it with the context at the end of chapter 3 when Jesus said, they and my family are the ones who hear the word of God and they are the ones who keep it. The sower here is the Lord Jesus as he's teaching. And the sower is also going to be in the future the disciples who are listening to him teaching. And the sower is going to be every servant of Jesus Christ from that day right down to this day in which you live. The Lord Jesus wants his disciples to know that he is not impressed by the multitudes or by great crowds of people following him. He wants them to know that that's no measure of success. But in this multitude, Jesus knows that there are those who will hear the word of God and will do it, but many will not. He wants his disciples to see the reality that not everybody is going to be changed and be transformed when they go out and take his gospel into all the world. As they would go out and sow a seed, there has to be room within their hearts for disappointment. I remember back in Faith Mission Bible College, 1989, and I thought, you know, when I get out into the work, we're going to preach and everybody's going to get converted. But that's just not going to happen. And the Lord Jesus lays out down to these disciples here in this parable of the sower and the seed, there needs to be room for disappointment within their experience as they preach God's word. And they need to remember that there's nothing wrong with the seed of God's word. And it's not always the fault of the sower of God's word. But the problem lies in the condition of the hearts of people. The problem lies literally there in the condition of the soil. Jesus goes on to speak about these four different types of soil, bringing out from them to illustrate the fact and truth of God's word that there are different responses people make to the sowing and the preaching of God's word. So let us not measure success by numbers of people, or even by great numbers of people responding to lengthy appeals in some large meeting. But the measure of success is in making disciples for Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus didn't come to gather crowds, nor was he impressed with those who came because of the great miracles that he wrought. But as he sent his disciples out, he told them what to do. He said, go preach the gospel and make disciples. When Jesus sent them out, that's exactly what he said. Let's not get discouraged as we go and sow God's seed. Wherever then, whatever capacity of ministry we do it in, let us not get discouraged. Let us learn from this parable that not everybody's going to receive the message gladly. Not everybody's going to be transformed by the message we give, although it's God's word. But if we're sowing the seed only among a little number of people, only among a small few people, if one of those people, young or old, trusts in Jesus Christ as their Savior, as the seed is sown into their lives, so that seed takes root, and then they themselves go out and reach somebody else for the Lord Jesus Christ, as the seed is sown in their lives, so they themselves have become like a seed. A seed that then will produce a great harvest through the lives of many other people as well. Maybe it's possible, as the Lord Jesus spoke to these people, that they could actually see a sower sowing seed. Very different to the days we live in with the modern machinery and technology that we have in the farming industry. But back then, just the bag and cast it broadside, or broadcast the seed. No doubt from which we get that term when people telling tales, you know, they're broadcasting it all over the place. And so as the farrow would sow the seed and broadcast it, the fields were not like today with ditches and hedges and boundary markers. So he would sow that seed, and the wind would carry that seed, and it would fall in different types of ground. And that's the four grounds that the Lord Jesus is referring to here. First of all, the wayside ground. And that speaks to us very clearly, Jesus says, of a hardened heart in verse 15. This could be called the pathway, probably the pathway around the edge of the field where the animals would tramp over continually. And because of the continual traffic upon this ground, the ground became baked hard. As the sower, as the seed fell on this ground, it didn't get down into the ground, but it sat on top of the ground. And there it sat as a feast for the birds of the air to come and just to take away the seed. The Lord Jesus says that like those birds come and take that ordinary little physical seed, so Satan comes as the word of God as seed is sown into people's lives. It doesn't get down in because there's a hardness and there's an unresponsiveness to that seed. That gives us that kind of picture, just like the children of Israel when they were seeking to invade the city of Jericho. The Bible tells us that it was all shut up. And there are so many people's lives are like that. That when God's word is sown in their lives and people seek to get it into their lives, they're like Jericho, they're all shut up. They're unresponsive. And there is a resistance to the word of God. They might sit under its teaching, but they will not bow underneath its authority. Jesus said that a parable will have either two effects upon the hearers. It will either cause those who have a spiritual desire to see truth more clearly and more truth, or those who are resistant, all shut up and unresponsive, unconcerned and are stubborn, he says it will make truth more difficult to comprehend. It's all down to the condition of our hearts. In verse 12, Jesus is quoting from the prophecy of Isaiah, and it's referring to Israel who had God's prophets. to teach them the truth, and priests to pray for and intercede for them, and the law of God to guide them, and the Messiah to save them. But they rejected them all. And the result was a hardening of their heart. And you read the Pharisees throughout the New Testament, and you see them as they reject the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Then they will not receive light. As the Lord Jesus speaks of this ground right away, he lays it down to his disciples that when they preach the gospel, the word of God will be active. They will be active, but somebody else is active. And in the birds, he pictured the work of Satan as he comes and immediately steals away the good seed of God's word. Luke in his account tells us that Satan is so very, very keen to do this quickly, because he knows the power of God in his word to change and transform lives, because he has frightened of people believing and depopulating his kingdom. In Luke's account, chapter 8, verse 12, he says, those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And it needs to be coupled with Paul's teaching, where he said, if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them who are lost, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ would shine unto them and they would be converted. It's important for them to understand the activity and ministry of Satan, that when the word of God is preached, his fear is that their hardened heart can be broken up by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, as we come to this first ground this morning, could this be a description more not of a ground just? Could it be a picture as well, a spiritual picture of your life today? That there was a time in your life, maybe when you were younger, a time when you were more responsive to the word of God, a time when you were more open to what God wanted to do within your life. But as the years have gone on, and through rejection of Jesus Christ and his word again and again, so are layer after layer after layer of hardness and resistance and unresponsiveness to God's word has built up within your life. But my friend, today I want you to know that you are in a dangerous situation, because you are lessening the possibility of ever becoming right with God through Jesus Christ. Pharaoh was a man, the Bible says, who hardened his heart again, again, and again. But there came a time when God said, enough is enough. And it turns then the scriptures from saying that Pharaoh hardened his heart to the fact that God hardened his heart. And his heart was never soft again. So the first ground is this wayside, the hard ground. The second ground in verse 16 to 17 is the stony ground. It could be called the shallow heart. This ground had a problem at the beginning, because this ground was different. It wasn't hard on the outside. It was hard underneath. Now, underneath, it was not a picture of loose stones, but like a bed of rock. And underneath this soil, from this rock, there could come up such a quick growth, because from the rock, it retained the heat and the moisture and bring a great spurt of growth. But the problem arose when the sun came up, and the plants turned yellow, then brown, until finally they were beaten with the heat and they collapsed. Jesus says there are people like that, spiritually speaking. They hear God's word, and at the beginning and at the start, it just seems they embrace it with open arms and with great delight. And it seems they start to do well. But when things get difficult, Jesus says, just like the heat comes upon those plants, Jesus says they endure only for a time. Because when tribulation or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. That just as quick as they receive the word, as it seems, they stumble and they reject the word. There is enthusiasm at the beginning, but when they are tested with the difficulties of opposition, they wither away. All this person has, as far as I can see from Scripture, is a mere profession of religion. They have not been truly converted and truly rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus made it clear in his teaching that to follow him was not going to be a picnic. The Lord Jesus didn't teach people that everything's going to be rosy in the garden when you follow me. And even his close followers, he said to them, look, in this world you're going to have tribulation. That's the way it's going to be. So it's not going to be a picnic. And becoming a Christian is not getting a crutch to lean on, but a cross to carry. Not all your friends in school, in work, and I know exactly what it's like. I worked on a building site for many, many years, and I know what it's like in those places. Not everybody's going to respond positively. Not everybody's going to throw your arms around you and think you're wonderful. There will be people who will do that. But that's where the test comes. That's where the test comes, that if I've really trusted in Jesus Christ as my Savior, if I've really been sincere, and I'm really going to lean my colors to the mast, this is where the test will come. This is a shallow heart here in this picture that's not rooted deep. And where you find a person who makes a profession, but there's been no growth within that spiritual context, there's a shallowness. A shallowness to their whole experience with God. And so there needs to be a concern then. Did they ever truly count the cost? Did they really enter the kingdom of God? There's a doctrine called the doctrine of eternal security. Mine's not here today to tell you what's right or wrong. But it was never intended for a crutch, for people to lean on, where they were never truly born again. If we go down that line, we go into a whole area and an arena of easy believism. And the Lord Jesus never taught such nonsense. Could it be that this ground is a revelation of your life today? Yes, you could look back to a time when I trusted in Jesus Christ, but it didn't last very long. And it wasn't long before you were back into doing the things that you used to do. Adopting the attitudes you used to have. Living according to the principles of the world that you ran after for so long. Wasn't very long before you stopped and went back to those things. You see, it's so easy to have all the outward trimmings and trappings of Christianity, but never really to have a genuine meeting with Jesus Christ. The kind that transforms you, that changes you and makes you into a new creature. The third ground is the thorny ground. It's in verse 18 and verse 19. We could call it the cluttered heart. Thorns and even tall weeds can take away the nourishment and block the sun that a plant needs to survive and thrive. In Palestine, it says there were a range of thorns, briars and thistles. In fact, there were said to be over 200 kinds of weeds that invaded upon the people's crops. So it was a battle for survival. When the seeds fall in this ground, it can't grow. Not because the ground's hard, but because there's no room for it to grow. There's all kinds of things within this ground. And the Lord Jesus pictures this so clearly to our lives today. And he says that these thorns represent the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things. And those things in our lives choke the growth of the Word of God. I'm sure your life is no different to mine. Everybody's busy. There's nobody as busy as a retired person. There's nobody as busy as grandparents today. Nobody is busy. Most people's lives are crowded with their job, and I put myself in this as well. Crowded with their job, family, sport, hobby, holidays, education, cars, houses. So the list could go on and go on and go on. And let me say there's nothing wrong with those things. But the problem is, when we allow those things to be so to the forefront in our lives, and there's no room then for God. You see, it used to be years ago that God was there and then everything else was sort of centered around God. But even now today, not only in unconverted lives, but in God's people's lives as well, that we've got all these things and, well, let's get God here. Can we get him in? Can we not get him in? Is there any room for him here or is there not? The scriptures tell us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and then all the other things we need will be given unto us. Many people once were open, had time for the gospel, but now they've become very indifferent because they've prospered in this life. And their lives are so full, and they have it all worked out. But God's not in their thinking. God is not in their plans. And they're choking God's word. This kind of life for many a person is full. For many a person it might even be fulfilling. But what a tragedy it will be at the end of it all. That all they've worked for and planned for and lived for and even found security in will be left behind. And they will stand before God without anything, without any hope, and without any security. If your life today is just so caught up with things, the Bible says that things have a strange way of taking wings. There'll come a day when before God you'll be caught out. And what a waste of time it will have been to realize we've been saving in the wrong bank. The old hymn reminds us, you have room for pleasure, room for business, but for Jesus Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in your heart for which he died. The fourth ground is the last ground. It's a good ground. It's a fruitful ground. Earlier this year, we planted some potatoes, fruit, and quite a lot of vegetables. We had a good harvest. And it was great. So enjoyable to see, so enjoyable to do, but more enjoyment in the eating. I said to Hilda, you couldn't buy anything like this in a shop. You couldn't buy a taste like this in a shop. One thing that was vital to our harvest was the quality of the ground. When we began, the ground was hard. But through a bit of backbreaking work, we softened and broke up the ground. Remove the stones, and continually we have to keep the weeds back as well. And when it came to the time of sowing, I could say it was good ground for seed. The spiritual lesson is plain, that preparation is vital for ground to become good. We used to live in Ballykelly, and right down the side of our house was a large field, arable field. And the farmer came in, and he brought machinery like I'd never seen in my life. There were more tractors in that place than I've seen up and down that road ever. And they cleared that field. Stoning machines and everything. And you know, when they're finished, it was better than our garden. Preparation was absolutely vital. Through time, God prepares and makes us ready for the seed of his word to be sown in our lives. So that we will receive it, believe it, and act upon it. It says here that there will be fruit. And fruit is just the sign of life. Fruit is just the overflow of the life that's coming from the plant or from the tree. And so when we are connected to the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are connected to God because His Holy Spirit then comes and lives within our lives. Then we have established and a relationship is developed day by day. And there will be an overflow of life from the source of life. That is, we will become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. We could put it in another term. We could call it the fruit of the Spirit. There are differing degrees of fruitfulness, but the mark of the good ground is fruit. If the person is a real Christian, there will be fruit. Because they will have the Holy Spirit, and he will produce his fruit. Now here, back to the end, at the end of the message, back to the context of this parable. The people in this good ground are those who have heard the word of God and do it. They have accepted it with a believing heart and have responded positively to it. As you and I have come to another harvest service, to another time when we decorate our building so beautifully. But there's another harvest going on in the world today. And it's not a literal physical harvest. It's a spiritual harvest. Where people have the Word of God as seed sown within their lives. And today you and I have the opportunity of hearing God's Word. So can I ask you, are you one of the members of Jesus' family? Do you belong to His family? See, the people came and they said to Jesus, your mother and brothers are looking for you. Jesus says, my mother, my brothers, my family are they who hear the Word of God and keep it. Have you accepted it with a believing heart? Been born again and entered into the family of God? Out of these four grounds, which one describes the response of your heart today? But you see, I don't respond. I come to church every week. I don't respond. You do respond. You accept it or you reject it. Is your life pictured like hard ground? Shut up to God? Unresponsive? Maybe even resistant to the Word of God? Is your life like that ground that's shallow? Once there was a quick commitment, but it didn't really get living out in your life. And today all you have is a profession. Is your ground all cluttered up? Your life all cluttered up? And there's no room for God's seed to grow? Or are you good ground today? Now we're going to sing our closing item of praise. It'll come on the screen, the King of Love. We'll stand together as we sing a place. Thank you. Father, we thank you today for the seed of your word. All we can do is sow it. And Lord, the watering of it by prayer. But yet, Lord, the increase of it belongs to you. And so we commit it all to you now and pray that you'll answer prayer for the sake and glory of Jesus. We pray as we part this morning that we might be so conscious that you are there, just at our hand, ministering to us, to our every need, for Jesus' sake. Amen.